Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. Welcome to all who are here in person, watching live online via our streaming service or on our catch-up service during the week. We're so glad to have each and every one of you here for this time of worship together as we stand on the cusp of another new year. A few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First of all, a reminder that the new programs for the Good Morning Group are available this morning for collection. Please have a look at the program and join with the Good Morning Group sometime. And this is both for men and for women, both. And it's a wonderful time of fellowship and learning together. A reminder about our Christmas retiring collection. As we, most of us know, we've been raising funds for the SCAA over the last couple weeks, the Scottish Charity Air Ambulance Service. And we are continuing with donations through this Sunday. So if you haven't yet had a chance to make a donation for the ongoing work of the SCAA, that will still be happily accepted today. And we'll be happy to report, yes, Leslie? Back in the basket in the back. Thank you, Leslie. And we'll be happy to give a report on the full amount raised after the turn of the new year. A reminder as well, Jim, I believe we still have Gospel for Grampian calendars available. A few left. Okay, a few Gospel for Grampian calendars left for 2019. Those are £7, 50 pence each. And please do purchase those while they are still available. A reminder that next Sunday we'll have Holy Communion on the first Sunday of the month, a bit out of the usual order. But we'll also be having our reaffirmation of our covenant as well at the first Sunday of the new year. So that's next Sunday, the 6th of January. I also have here, I got a call from Margaret Webster, who let me know that we received a lovely letter of thanks from Blythewood Care for all the shoeboxes that we supply for the shoebox appeal, that we supplied the very good number of 68 boxes from our church. And there's a letter here that thanking us for our support and detailing more information about how to stay involved. But it is very much a privilege to be in ministry and support of such a worthy cause. And I think what I'll do is I will place this letter and certificate at the back of the church so you can take a look at it yourselves rather than have me read the whole thing aloud. But please do take a moment to glance through it. And it's a reminder just how much more ministry there is than outside of our own immediate context, that we can touch the wider world as well as our local community as well. I'm also pleased to report that on the 28th of December, our parish assistant Kylie landed safely back here in Scotland. She was in London the day before on the 27th, and despite the jet lag, she still managed to stay awake for Phantom of the Opera in London. I think she may have tried to doze off during the intermission, but she managed to rouse herself and keep going again. But I instructed Kylie to stay home this morning and to get some rest to combat the inevitable jet lag. But she'll be back to work next Sunday on the 6th of January. So we're pleased to have her back. And as I speak, Heather must be getting close to Dublin by now as well. And there's two boys back at the manse who are very anxious to see her. Maybe Benny even more so, but so hard to say. But we'll be glad to have Heather back as well. Are there any other intimations to share at the start of our time together this morning? With those shared then, let us enter into worship through the gift of music by singing our first song of praise, Far and Near. And during the singing of this song, your regular offering for God's continued work in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Yeah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for all that the birth of Jesus challenges us with. For a young unmarried mother with a father, Joseph, who cares and marries her. For the shepherds among the least of people who were included and came to worship. For a quiet young Mary who treasured many things in her heart about her son Jesus. For the obedience of the wise men not telling Herod where Jesus had been born. For the willingness, understanding, and faith of Mary and Joseph accepting their pregnancy, the birth of Jesus, and the need to become refugees and aliens in Egypt. Thank you for the people who have given us their dreams, their love, the possibilities that weave their way into our lives. Tell us again, Lord, about forgiveness that frees, about love that is boundless, about peace that passes all understanding. Christmas, the gift that you introduce us to each other. And as we listen again to the Christmas story, may the baby in the manger remind us that even the smallest have a place, the most vulnerable are valuable, and that God can surprise us any day. May we all be heralds of good news coming in from the cold margins of the world. Let us ask God that worship may become a manger, the church a stable, and the rumor become a reality that Christ has come among us. Glory to God and peace on earth. Amen. Let's join together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Noel. We continue with our next hymn, O Love, How Deep, How Broad, How High.
Thank you.
morning we're going to make it an all-ages talk. We'll start with a question for everybody. Please raise your hand if you enjoy getting lost. Nobody? Oh, raise your hand if you've ever gotten lost before. Oh, every hand should be up at one point or another. Absolutely, indeed. I have many memories growing up in Washington State with my family going on camping trips to the state of Idaho, which, if you don't know your American geography, that's okay. It's the next state over to the east from Washington. It has a long panhandle northern part and a wide southern bit. And we used to go to Idaho for camping trips when I was a small boy. We go to different sites, and without fail, at least once a summer, my family would get lost driving on the way. Not to the more established state parks, but to the more out-of-the-way locations, it could be a bit of a challenge to find. And sometimes my father, who did most of the driving when I was younger, would get a little frustrated getting lost. Anybody ever felt frustrated when you get lost before? Yes, indeed, especially when you're running on a bit of a time schedule as well. But my mother would try her hardest to make it into a game, to try and find the fun in getting lost. And I'm not sure if it calmed my father down or made him more upset, but it helped me and my brother to better cope when my family had no idea where they were going when we were younger. And lo and behold, you know, you inherit a lot of traits from your parents, don't you? Yes. Guess what I inherited from my father? The ability to get lost as well. And that has happened to me throughout my life. I don't have the greatest sense of direction in the world. That Heather once jokingly said, it's a miracle you can find your way to church each Sunday, Joshua. But slight exaggeration, I suppose. But I remember a few years ago, I got to do part of the West Highland Way with some friends. And we started out all well and good in Mulgai, well on our way, with the wind at our back, the sun on our face. And then about 2 hours into the walk, the rain started to lash down, as it does with all too great frequency in this country. And guess what happened? We got lost, so very lost. We thought that climbing over fences into cattle fields was part of the West Highland Way. But no, it's really not. It's really not. But you know, we were just about to get frustrated, but then we decided that we needed to laugh it off and just see where the path we were making was going to take us. And off in the distance, we thought we saw a sign, a Guinness sign. So, oh, we found a pub, we can get warmed up there. But it wasn't a Guinness sign. It was a sign for the Glengoyne Distillery. So that was even better. So that was an unexpected joy of getting lost that time as well. And not too long ago here in the church, as we know, that some of us went on a pilgrimage to the Isle of Iona, didn't we? I see Linda chuckling. Yes, indeed. Now, the trip down to Iona was, I think, fairly smooth. We got there in reasonable good time. But the way back, in my particular car, and guess who was driving? Me. Yes, I was driving. Heather's in the front. Kathleen Gunn and Linda Duguid were in the back seat. And what happened on the way back, Linda? We got lost. But thanks to Linda's expert guidance, we eventually found our way. And even though I was a little frustrated at the fact we got lost, because we're all very tired, wanted to go back to our bed, we actually stopped along the way and had a lovely dinner together on the way home, which may not have happened had we not gotten lost. So the lesson in this is that anytime we feel frustrated or we feel like we've made a wrong turn or we're lost, it's not usually as bad as we think it is. We can find some fun and find some joy and find God's blessings in very unexpected places. And that's what part of this story today is all about, the story of the flight to Egypt in Matthew's gospel. The flight back down to Egypt, a road that they were not expecting to take, an unexpected twist in the journey that Mary and Joseph and their newborn son had to endure. And God uses these sorts of things all the time throughout Scripture. So many times, the people we admire most in the biblical narrative have taken unexpected paths, have felt like they were lost in a moment, only really to be right where God wanted them to be. Over and over again, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, this is very true. So sometimes when we feel most lost, we're really right where God wants us to be. And so I hope as we hear the lesson this morning, we can take this lesson to heart and trust God, no matter what twists and turns we get in our journey, that he is there for us, supporting us, guiding us, and caring for us. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for guiding us every step of the way. Even when we feel lost, even when we feel confused, help us to know and to trust that you are always with us, guiding us, helping us, loving us. Thank you so much for all that you do for us. Help us to trust you with our whole selves. Help us to trust you with every step we take in life. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. When we feel lost or stuck, sometimes all we can do is take a step of faith.
The reading from Scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 2 and a reading from verse 13. And you can find this on page 966. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." From verse 19, the return to Nazareth. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Thank you, Fraser. We continue in worship with our next song, Spirit of Truth and Grace. Let us pray. Spirit of truth and grace, fall afresh upon each of us anew. As we learn from you through your word, through this time of worship, may all these things draw us closer and make us more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll start this one with another question. Raise your hand if you have not gotten lost, but if you've ever had a dream that was so real, so fresh, that when you woke up, you were honestly surprised to realize it had been just a dream. Have you ever had a dream so vivid and so real? Yes, absolutely. I have had a few of these in my life, but in my experience, I don't know about you, but most of my dreams, if I remember them at all, once I wake up, they start to fade from the memory a bit. Isn't it a bit strange how that happens? And I'm sure Sheila could give us an excellent lecture from neuroscience about why that happens in our dreams. But other dreams do stay with us, don't they? Years after the fact, right? Even if the dream occurred a long time ago, and for now, I will simply say that I am still gravely disappointed that I am not a 00 agent serving Queen and Country in MI6. Some dreams are very pleasant. Some dreams make us laugh afterwards. Some dreams are just plain odd. And some are so random that we wake up scratching our heads and saying, what in the world was that all about? Or what did I eat or drink last night to bring that dream on? Right? I remember a while ago, when I was still living in America, I once had a very vivid dream that I was sitting in my house at the time, and I received a telegram. Not a letter, not a phone call, but a telegram. That part was specific, right? A telegram that I had been elected Pope of the Roman Catholic Church. You can take the boy out of the church, but not the church out of the boy. Anybody knows the name of a good therapist, you can tell me after service today as well. But dreams come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? And dreams can shape us. They can tell us about ourselves, our delusions of grandeur, for example. They can remind us of what we truly care about. And dreams can also provide us with flashes of inspiration that seem to come right out of the blue. One of my favorite stories about dreams comes from Keith Richards, the guitarist of the Rolling Stones. I think we all know who that is. And according to his account, he was asleep one night and he was having a dream and he woke up and fell out of his bed. And when he fell out of his bed, guess what was in his head? Bum, 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 bum. Just like, and he wrote it down on his nightstand and went right back to sleep. So it's strange what dreams can do. And in this morning, reading from the Gospel of Matthew, we encounter a man who received more than his fair share of dreams, and not benign, passive dreams, but the kind of dreams that make one sit bolt upright in bed and consider a drastically different course of action in one's life. And this man, of course, is who? Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. And we only know bits and pieces about Joseph. He appears only in Matthew and Luke, and he disappears from the story by the end of Matthew 2 and the end of Luke chapter 3. And when I was first reading through this text, I kept trying to put myself in the place of Joseph, who was warned in a dream to flee before it was too late, before King Herod discovered and destroyed the newborn Savior of the world. I wonder what Joseph was thinking after he received this warning from God. We know it wasn't the first time that he received instruction through a dream. In Matthew chapter 1, we are told that Joseph, in a dream, was told by God that even though Mary was already pregnant, that he should not be afraid to marry her, since her child was from God, from the Holy Spirit, and would save people from their sins. It's quite the dream to have. We know that Joseph was a faithful and just man. We know that he did not fail to obey God's commands, no matter how outlandish they may have seemed to him. And we know Joseph was faithful, that he obeyed, not because of the words that he spoke, but because of his actions. In fact, have you ever noticed that in the entire Gospels, Joseph does not speak once? Not one word. We're told about him, about his actions. We do not have a single word that Joseph himself spoke. Mary does all the talking. That's the kind of marriage they had. Whenever God gave Joseph a command, he responded with action, with faithfulness, as did Mary. Still, I wonder what passed through Joseph's mind when God told him to flee with his family to the land of Egypt. Out of all the places in the known world, there probably wasn't any place less desirable than the land of the Pharaohs. After all, the people of Israel had quite the history with Egypt, did they not? They spent hundreds of years as slaves in Egypt. And why, in light of that, why would God want Joseph to take the promised Messiah back to the land of slavery? Why would God want Joseph to flee with his family, not to other relatives, not to another safe haven, surely, but to a strange land full of bad memories for Joseph's people, and then to stay there for an unknown period of time? Why? I think part of the answer was eloquently expressed by C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer, and that is that God uses all the wrong roads to bring us to all the right places. Throughout the entirety of the Bible, God continually uses the wrong roads to bring his people to the right places. We've seen this in our journey through the book of Genesis. Consider again the story of Jacob, one of the great patriarchs of our faith. We know that Jacob and his older brother Esau were at each other's throats even before day one, that they wrestled in their mother's womb, we are told. We know that Jacob never missed an opportunity to inflict some sort of harm and shame on his older brother, convincing his older brother to sell him his birthright for a measly bowl of stew. We know that with his mother's help, Jacob stole his blind father's blessing for himself and left nothing for Esau. Jacob chose to lie, cheat, and steal time and again. He always seemed to be on the wrong road, didn't he? We know that he was one who always wanted to take the easy way out and unwilling to face the consequences for his actions. Yet no matter how far he wandered, no matter what he did, Jacob could not outrun God. We know in Genesis 32, in one dramatic night, the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob until daybreak. And when Jacob would not relent, the angel had to knock Jacob's hip out of joint to gain the advantage. Still, Jacob refused to relent until the angel of the Lord blessed him and gave him the new name of Israel, which means wrestles with God. And even though he couldn't see it at the time, Jacob's wrestling match with the angel of the Lord was the turning point. And even though it was painful, his wounded hip made him whole for the first time in his life. For Jacob, God used all the wrong roads to bring him to all the right places. The same is true for Moses, the great liberator of the Israelites from the land of Egypt. Raised as a member of the royal family, spared the harsh life endured by his brothers and sisters, his fellow Hebrews. But one day his decision to kill an Egyptian guard for his harsh treatment of a Hebrew forced him to flee for his life and go into exile in the land of Midian. That's quite a dramatic shift. And how Moses must have felt when he arrived in Midian, far away from the creature comforts that he once knew. He must have felt like he'd thrown his whole life away in one rash impulse decision, in the heat of anger. He must have thought that any chance he had as a member of the royal family to truly help his people disappeared the moment he became a fugitive. But unbeknownst to Moses, the wrong road that he had taken was bringing him to the right place, to the mountain of Horeb, to the burning bush, to his true destiny. For Moses, God used those wrong roads to bring him to the right places. Again and again, this happens throughout Scripture. At other times, the wrong road that we're on can look, feel, and smell like the right road, what makes it even harder to arrive at the right place that God has for us. Look at the story of Paul the Apostle. Paul, or Saul as he was known then, he grew up doing everything right. He ticked every box. He did everything that was expected of him by his superiors and more. He showed his zeal for his faith and heritage by arresting and persecuting those early Christians who dared to call Jesus Lord and Savior. He had the esteem of the community. He was climbing the ladder. He was building a reputation. But it wasn't until that fateful moment on the Damascus Road, recorded in Acts chapter 9, that Paul recognized that he was walking down the wrong road, even though he thought it was the right road. It wasn't until that dramatic moment when Jesus confronted Saul with the words, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" That was when he realized that he was on the wrong road. But still, despite his past misdeeds, despite everything he had done to subvert and destroy the gospel, God still used Saul, gave him the new identity, used his past story, and used his future mistakes to spread the good news of Jesus to an even wider arena than before. For Paul, God used all those wrong roads to bring him to the right places. When I was younger, back in America, in high school, or academy if you prefer, I knew a fellow, a classmate of mine, who seemed to have everything. He was kind, popular, and smart. Everyone expected great things from him. When he applied to universities, he received scholarships galore. Everyone wanted him. But he wasn't quite sure what he wanted to do with his life, so he decided to defer his admission and take a year to work and save money. However, during that year, he fell in with questionable people, people who encouraged him to have a great time, to drink, to take drugs, to enjoy his year off, to indulge himself. After all, he was already guaranteed spots at many elite universities. What could possibly happen? But soon his life began to spiral out of control. And before long, he was arrested for possession of a controlled substance with intent to sell. He became a drug dealer. His conviction and imprisonment made his college dreams disappear in the blink of an eye. When he was released from prison in the following year, he had nothing. It seemed like all of his grand opportunities to make a difference were gone forever. And yet, bit by bit, new shoots of life began to appear. Instead of going to an Ivy League university, he went to night school at community college and then transferred to a local university and then eventually applied to seminary. After he graduated with distinction, he was still very smart, he took a call as a pastor in a rough urban neighborhood. His past experience with drugs and prison, as painful as those were, gave him credibility with many of the families and neighborhoods surrounding his church. And even more so, it gave him deep sympathy for those who faced the daily temptation to ruin their own lives with alcohol and drugs. Today, he is still making a real and lasting difference in countless lives. His story does not mean that our choices don't matter, that we can be reckless, but it does mean that God can use all the wrong roads to lead us to the right places. Maybe there are some of us here today who feel like we have taken more than our fair share of wrong roads. I won't ask for a show of hands on this one. Maybe some of us here are wrestling with the pain of bad choices or with the grief of adverse circumstances. Maybe there are some of us here today, or we know people today, who cannot or will not recognize the harm that we or they are doing to ourselves and to other people. Even though it's only been 5 days, maybe there are some of us here today who feel very far indeed from Bethlehem, who feel far away from the one who was born there many years ago. In one way or another, each and every one of us will at some point take a wrong turn. We will go down a wrong road. If you've already been there, if you are there, If you think you're going there, then I have this to say. First, you are more loved than you can possibly imagine. And it's not too late. This very moment, each and every one of us, even if we're on the wrong road, can turn back to God. We often hear the word repentance in church, in scripture. Do you know what the literal meaning of the word we translate as repent is? Do you know what it literally means? To turn around. I quite like that imagery. To turn around, to pull a 180, as we say. This very moment, each and every one of us can turn back to God. Each and every one of us can begin yet again at the beginning. There is no choice. There is no choice that God cannot redeem. There is no mistake that God cannot work through to put us back on the path of life. God uses all the wrong roads to lead us to the right places. While he was dreaming, Joseph received a command from God to pack up his family and flee to Egypt before Herod found them and killed the newborn king. From the standpoint of Joseph, I'm sure it felt like the peace of the first Christmas was shattered by God's warning and by this murderous plan of Herod. And doesn't it often feel that way for us? We enjoy the joy and peace of the holiday, perhaps, the energy of the holiday, and then real life comes crashing back in. We feel frustrated that we can't enjoy the peace a bit longer. I just wonder if that's how Joseph felt. I'm sure the entire situation of having to flee for their lives from to Egypt felt like a disruption, a very wrong road that would lead to a possibly very bad end. But we know that the wrong road of fleeing to Egypt would eventually lead to the right place for Jesus' ministry, for his life, for all the wonderful things he did, to the cross, which must have seemed like the worst wrong road of all time at that time. But even that led to the empty tomb, to the right place of resurrection, the right place of new life for us. So the good news is this for us today. The good news is that God's redemptive plan never requires ideal circumstances. That God's redemption is at work in the mess of everyday life. It doesn't leave us even when we take a wrong turn down a wrong road. In some mysterious way, each and every moment, the good moments, the bad moments, the confusing moments, the ho-hum moments, all these moments are threads that God can and will use to weave together the wider tapestry of redemption for us and for the world. It's never too late to turn around. God uses all the wrong roads to bring us back to all the right places. He uses all the wrong roads to bring us back to Jesus Christ, who is our true source of life. Amen. All the wrong roads to all the right places. Jesus has come to save us and to guide us, to never leave us alone. We can always trust in him. Thank you. When we pray as Christians, as people of faith, it is natural and necessary for us to use words when we pray. But when we pray, it's also important to make room for silence as well. We know what it's like if we're always talking to somebody. It's hard to hear what they're saying to us, isn't it? So words are important in prayer, but I dare say that silence is just as, if not more, important. Both are needed, words and silence, to center us on God's presence. And so this morning, we'll try something a bit different. In the silence of our hearts, let us pray for the needs of our world, for those places at peace, for those places experiencing tension, such as Bangladesh, or war, such as Syria and Sudan. In the silence of our hearts, let us pray for the needs of the United Kingdom, especially for our leaders, for an end to political bickering, and for all those who are in need of life's necessities. In the silence of our hearts, let us pray for the needs of Scotland, for all who call this place home. We pray especially for all those today whose lives have been impacted by the recent bus crash in the Scottish borders. In the silence of our hearts, we pray for our local community. Lord, give us courage to bear true and steadfast witness to your love in every aspect of our lives, and help us as your people to do what we can to ease the burdens of others. In the silence of our hearts, we pray for our families. Keep them safe and in your care, Lord Jesus. We pray as well for our enemies. If we are in the wrong, help us to ask for forgiveness. If we have been wronged, help us to forgive and love freely. Lord, thank you for hearing us when we pray, whether in words or in silence. In the silence of our hearts, we say thank you. Amen. We now sing our closing hymn of praise, Christ is our light. Thank you. God uses all the wrong roads to bring us to all the right places. This is true in Scripture. It is true for each of our lives as well. So go forth from this place on this cusp of the new year. Place your trust anew in the living God, who will always, always lead us home to Jesus. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.
Down below the record, so she's not here in person in the listening hub.